Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I'm your host, Joe. Aki and Jacob are here. How are you two doing?
Good, and you?
Look at you being all polite and shit.
I usually say that, but okay.
Jacob, how are you?
I've just had like a what the fuck ever, like last 24 hours, and I'm just done. Just done.
Why? What happened?
Well, so... for obviously the listeners, they don't know this, but Joe managed to find the last Suicide Squad steelbook that Best Buy is selling. He found the last one in the
250 miles around my house.
Jesus. And it's like 40 minutes from my house. And I was just like, and he's like, can you please pick this up for me? Like in that exact voice.
I didn't even say it, I did it in text.
It is my story. Shut up.
Can you get it for me?
Yeah, exactly. That is, thank you, Joe. That is actually verbatim how you sounded. Thank you. I appreciate that. Anyway, so I'm just like, why, yes, Joe, I could definitely do that. Because, you know, that's how I sound. Go out last night and earlier in the day, I thought something sounded wrong with one of my tires, but it's Pennsylvania, so you know you're always paranoid that something fucked up with one of your tires.
It's usually just the roads.
And I get like literally 2 miles from my house, and I'm just like, something is definitely wrong. And so I pull over, and my driver front tire is like it's either super deflated or it's like just straight up flat. And I'm just like, Joe, I'm not going to be able to pick it up tonight. And he's like, whatever, they hold it till Sunday. That's fine. And so it's like, I have to call up AAA. And AAA is just like, yeah, we have no record of you having a membership. And I'm just like, listen, a membership. Like, I know I do. And like, so like, we're searching like through all of my previous addresses because the same shit happened last time. My car battery died in the same exact damn van. My wife says that this van is haunted, and I'm now like starting to believe her that like, you know, she's not loony about it. I pull out the receipt from the battery thing because the guy's just like, this is your warranty in case this battery dies in the next 3 years. Like AAA will replace it free of charge. The friggin' guy like had bad handwriting, and so like the lady's like desperately like trying like all these different possible variations of my membership number. Nothing is still coming up. She's trying the last four addresses I've lived at, and all of these are showing that at some point like my membership had lapsed but never renewed. And it's just getting to the point where the lady's like, okay, well, you're probably just going to have to pay it out of pocket, you know, just get a reimbursement from us. And I'm like, well, wait a second. Could you look it up on my wife's name? And she's like, yeah, I could do that. And we find her. And the address, the first part of it's correct, but they have us down as drive and not road. But, like, this lady, I could tell, like, she really just wants to get me off the phone. And she's just like, yeah, this is probably it. Like, that's probably, like no worries. So, like, you know, I get all these...
I love that Aki's mic is so good now that you can hear her random, when she just wants you to finish.
I was hoping you could pick it up.
I'm used to ladies hoping I'll finish soon.
come on now. You're not used to people waiting for you to finish. You finish way too quick, and everyone knows it.
Whatever.
One pump chump.
Whatever. You call one hump chump. I call it speed running. I'm sorry that I finished first. You know, it's like, I can't help it. I'm better at you. You know.
If you can't even get it out of your pants before you're done, you're not speedrunning anything.
I played the game before everyone else.
Oh, my God.
So anyway, I eventually get the mechanic over there, and like, he puts the donut on, and you know, I you know, meekly make it back to my house. But it's just like, I don't even remember all the other crap that happened yesterday, but it was just like, that was just like the icing on the cake. And then, yeah, and today's just been like existential. Like, I just don't give a crap. I'm done. So that's where
so
I'm
you're
like,
here instead. So you're here.
Unfortunately,
and you're stuck with us.
Hey, you gotta
I don't know if I'm really stuck with you guys. I think you're all the thing is, I don't think I'm stuck with you guys. I think you're all stuck with me.
That is unfortunately probably a hell of a lot more.
I was gonna say, because of Aki's attitude, I feel like I could tell a few more rambling stories tonight. So.
No, just if he starts, just kick him out. We can continue the show without him. It's fine.
Jesus. Nah, you know, we have to fill up time because, you know, Norg might show up. So,
oh, he won't be here for a long time.
Oh, good. So, how many rambling stories do you want? I got a few.
None. Sega and Microsoft have entered into some sort of agreement to work together to help Sega develop a, quote, super game and to improve their workforce situation. Have you heard that news?
I had heard that they had joined together for something, but I didn't know why.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like this is an Xbox partnership. It seems more like it's like the Microsoft and Sony Azure cloud deal, like working with the cloud stuff. It seems like that's what the partnership's about.
That's still cool.
Regardless. Yeah, I mean, although, fingers crossed, I mean, it could be like an awesome game. You know, Yakuza, Jet Set Radio.
That'd be nice.
That would be amazing.
I don't know. We'll see. A lot of stuff coming to Game Pass. It has been a busy, busy week with Game Pass. On the PC side of things, they got Minecraft, Java, and Bedrock. Everybody got Unpacking on day one. Oh, my God. We're going to talk about that later. November 4th, we got It Takes Two and Kill It With Fire.
Nice.
I'm excited about Kill It With Fire. I didn't even realize that was an Xbox game. I mean, maybe I did, and I just forgot. Because I could have sworn it was only, like, for Switch, or, like, we only reviewed the Switch version. But, hell yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, next week on the 9th, Football Manager 2022 and Football Manager 2022 Xbox Edition are going to be hitting, as well as some little indie called Forza Horizon 5.
Is that like an indie game or something?
I think so. It's five of them.
It's probably like a cooking sim or something.
I don't know, but there's five of them. So
do I need to probably play all platformers? The storyline
probably platformers. November 11th, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, the definitive edition, hits Game Pass console, and One Step from Eden hits console and PC.
Step from Eden. That sounds familiar. I don't know why.
Probably because it's a video game.
But yeah, GTA.
Deck building and real-time action with roguelike elements.
I'm even more confused why that sounds familiar to me, because that is everything that I don't like in a fucking game.
I think that's the one that's kind of like the Mega Man Battle Network games, like the grid-based combat.
The screenshot, I think you're right. It does look like it. And there's a girl on the cover, so Aki, I mean, like, I know that that's automatically a plus for you, so.
Yeah, but a plus to a bunch of steaming hot dog shit is still steaming hot dog shit.
How do you know what's steaming hot dog shit?
Because of everything you listed that the game was, that's how I know.
No, that just means it's things you don't like. That doesn't mean it's bad.
It's bad to me.
Have you... Joe, have you met Aki?
Thankfully, no.
Well, Well, the reviews on Steam are overwhelmingly positive, so...
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good about it. I've seen it at MAGFest a few times, so I'm excited that it's going to be hitting Game Pass. November 18th, Undungeon is hitting Game Pass, and then on November 30th, Evil Genius 2.
Nice.
Yeah, it's not all good news, though. Obviously, some games join Game Pass. Some games are going to leave Game Pass. So by November 15th, we are going to be losing 6 games. And there's some good ones. Final Fantasy VIII HD is gone. Planet Coaster. Star Renegades. Streets of Rogue. The Gardens Between Us and River City Girls are all leaving.
I just want to say... Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. You go.
Oh, okay. Like, if you're concerned about Final Fantasy VIII leaving, and like you're like, oh, I have to buy it before it goes, just freaking wait till the next sale, because they always knock them down by 50%, and that's a way better deal than what your Xbox Game Pass will get you.
Yeah, so. It goes on sale frequently, so.
Yeah.
And the Gardens Between, just go ahead and go download that and play that, people. You can finish that in, like, an hour.
That's a good game, too.
It's a good... Fast
the Gardens game. Between.
Yeah,
it's fantastic. I reviewed that for us, I believe.
I don't know. It's been too long. I don't remember that shit. PlayStation Now is getting some games added for November with Final Fantasy IX, Celeste, Totally Reliable Delivery Service, and then Mafia Definitive Edition until February 28th.
Oh, that's cool. That's some good games.
Yeah, they're getting
Celeste
some good
just
stuff.
Left it, Xbox Game Pass, too.
Yeah, so it jumps from one to another. Gotta love it. Games with gold for November were announced. They sure are some games.
Doesn't sound good.
Xbox One gets Moving Out in Kingdom 2 Crowns.
Which I did... I reviewed Kingdom 2 Crowns. I remember it being like, I thought it was decent, but it confusing. Like, the game doesn't take time to explain itself, and like, it doesn't exactly tell you what the objectives are to move on to the next quote unquote level. But yeah. I thought it was all right. It's definitely, I mean, that's really cool that it's free now.
Yeah. So. That's the only one that I don't own of the four is Kingdom 2 Crowns. So I'm happy I'll be getting that.
What are the other two?
And then on Xbox 360, they're getting Rocket Knight and Lego Batman 2.
All right, I'm excited for Lego Batman 2.
The only one I didn't own was Rocket Knight.
No, it's free now, so chop chop, get that shit.
Well, I already got it.
I'm proud of you. It's being reported that...
Oh my god, you're proud of me!
No, I'm not. I was lying.
You just said it, unless you edited it out of the show.
I will.
I'm gonna listen just to see if you did.
I won't. I'm too lazy.
Reason for Aki to listen, you know, just tell me randomly.
I occasionally listen, anyways.
Just randomly tell me during episodes that you're proud of me, and then edit it out, just so Aki will go back and check to see if you actually did.
I mean, I do occasionally watch the episodes.
That's why we have more than two views.
Yeah, I don't watch too often, but I do occasionally. I do occasionally watch them. Not often, but when I do, I usually watch like 3 or 4 of them. But
yeah, Rootbeer mentioning PS Plus has a bunch of games. They have their normal 3 and then 3 PSVR games. I know we went over those last week. I'm trying to think what those who remain: Kingdoms of Amalur, Knockout City, Walking Dead: Saints and Sinners. I don't remember the others. I tried.
No, you didn't.
It's better than how many of them I remember, which is fucking none of them.
No, it wasn't Those Who Remain. What the hell's the name of that other game? The fuck, I don't know. It's being reported that GoldenEye 007 has been unbanned in Germany, leading many to speculate that a re-release might be on the way, either through Nintendo Switch's online service or Microsoft releasing that 360 version that was being worked on.
Why was it even banned?
Because Germany?
Germany's pretty, they're pretty stringent on those kind of things. Like, you have to do a lot of editing for it. Like, if I remember correctly, you're not allowed to show blood. And again, this is a lot of, if I remember correctly.
I didn't know that.
Carmageddon actually had to change all the pedestrians to zombies and all the blood went was turned green just so it could get sold in Germany. They're pretty anal about that kind of shit. So the fact that GoldenEye is becoming unbanned is kind of big news.
Yeah, might lead somewhere, it might not. We'll see. It's fun to speculate. Jen O'Neill left her co-leader role at Blizzard, making Mike Ybarra the lone boss. So, more women leaving Activision Blizzard.
Big shocker.
Wait, did she actually leave? I thought she was just moving to a different position in the company.
She still left her role, so.
I
thought she left altogether.
Yeah, and then they announced that both Overwatch 2 and Diablo 4 are both planned to launch, quote, later than originally envisaged.
Envisaged?
Yes.
That's the actual word.
Yes, that's why I wrote it down. They are both planned to launch later than originally envisaged.
Someone really, really wanted to put their English degree to work.
Congrats. I was going to say, somebody over at Activision really busted out the thesaurus. Verb, contemplate or conceive as a possibility or a desirable future event. Yeah, guys, we'd love to release this at some point.
Jeez. We just don't think it's going to happen.
Yikes.
Square is removing the paid XP boosts from the Avengers after the massive backlash that they faced when they added paid XP boosts to the Avengers, a game that they nerfed the XP on.
Imagine that. They're taking it out now that they've made all their money.
Yeah, pretty much. They had it there for a few months, people paid for them, and now they're going to take them out and look good, and they're probably not going to unnerf the XP.
Oh, God, no.
That
would be too much like a decent idea. They can't do that.
And then I know Square said something like Crystal Dynamics wasn't the proper fit for the games as a service model. It's like, no, it's games as a service isn't a good fit for fucking single player games.
It's not a good fit for fucking anything.
Games as a service it needs to fucking die. I want games. I don't want to have to. I don't want my games to be chores that I have to attend to every day to get daily quests and daily rewards and weekly rewards. And like, I don't want my games to become chores. I just want to play a fucking game.
See, I blame farming simulator people for this shit. Because all these games are like farm games as far as I'm concerned. All you do is you sit there and you fucking wait and you do chores. That's all that shit is.
I don't know. Niantic is shutting down Harry Potter Wizards Unite at the end of January.
And nothing of value was lost.
I didn't even know what that was.
It's a mobile game.
It was like Pokemon Go, except with Harry Potter. And the way that they've been wording it has been a little confusing, because I'm not sure if they're saying that it only made $40 million for them in their entire run of 2 years, or if it only pulled in $40 million last year, as opposed to Pokemon Go, which just prints money and like made over like $1 billion last year alone. So we've got that. So they closed that, but then there's also that Pikmin game that they just started up. I think it's like called Pikmin Bloom.
Yeah, something like that. But Harry Potter is going to be removed from stores on December 6th. And players will no longer be able to make in-game purchases as of December 6th as well. So, you know, spend as much money as you can in the next month for the game that's shutting down in 2 months.
Because, you know, Rowling needs all your money.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's real interesting how, like, the Harry Potter property went from, like, one of the most beloved literary franchises. Like, and then within like a 10-year period, it went from that to like what are they releasing now? Like, God damn it. Like, why? Like, nobody gives a crap about the next Fantastic Beasts movie.
Still making them.
Oh yeah. Yeah, they are. They're like, and the best part is like now Warner Brothers is on for like five of them. Cause it was only supposed to be a trilogy. So they're shutting down this game, that Harry Potter open world game, like, you know, had all the bullshit with that last year. And then, I mean, and that thing hasn't even released yet. And then now Cartoon Network is having like some sort of Harry Potter trivia game thing. And yeah, like everyone's essentially just shitting on it and is like, why the hell is this a thing? Nobody cares.
Yeah, I see commercials for that thing during wrestling on Wednesday nights. It's going to be on, I think, TBS or something.
Yeah, it's Cartoon Network.
I don't think it's Cartoon Network.
They've been advertising like it is. So, I mean, they maybe they're only going to show like the first episode on Cartoon Network, but I don't know.
Now I want to find out.
Showed that it was. I don't know why we're also going this in depth about Harry Potter bullshit, but
see, now I want to know. This is your fucking fault.
Yeah, I know it's my fault. Whatever.
The first episode premieres November 28th on TBS and Cartoon Network's Acme at 7 p.m.
The fuck is Acme?
I don't know.
Isn't it?
Oh, and it's also going to show up on HBO Max as well next year.
Oh, well, anyway, the downfall of Harry Potter is nowhere near as bad as the downfall of Game of Thrones.
That is true.
Because, like, Game of Thrones used to be the most talked about thing in the world. And now no one gives a flying fuck about it because they ruined it so bad.
Well, they ruined the ending, and then that was the ending.
Yeah, and now no one talks about it. No one, like, people always used to talk and speculate and be like, you know, what about these characters and what about these characters? And now they're just like, I don't give a shit anymore. Fuck them all.
It's not like you're going to speculate after the show is now done.
What are they doing next? What are they going to do next?
Nothing. It's over.
They still have lives to lead.
There's
that prequel show that's coming out soon.
Yeah, no one cares about it.
Yeah. No, I mean,
I didn't know about that.
It's one of those things where I think it's like it's really fascinating, like how much something can be like such a pop culture phenomena, and then like it just disappears, like a, you know, like a fart, essentially.
Yeah. I think we just have less and less of an ability to remember things. It just once it's over, we've already moved on to the next fucking thing at this point. And all humanity is like that, I think, and it's just getting worse and worse as time goes on.
Well, Root Beer says that people are hyped about the new series on HBO. I haven't heard any hype for it. Maybe I'm just not looking in the right place. But anyway, Spellforce 3 has been delayed to March 8th on consoles. It will still release on PC in December, though.
What's Spellforce?
It's a game.
Cool.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Devolver Digital has acquired Firefly Studios, the developers of Stronghold series, Nerial, the developers of Card Shark, and Dodge Roll, the Enter the Gungeon developers.
Oh, didn't we have them on the show once?
No.
Oh. I thought we had the folks responsible for Enter the Gungeon on.
No, I don't think so.
We had Cole, who always talked about the damn game. We had her on, which is about the same thing, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. But that's the news I have, Jacob. What news do you have?
The Chinese Fortnite servers are shutting down on November 15th. Essentially, it's just China's cracking down on like all these like pay-to-win kind of stuff.
China's just doing that for all games in general right now.
Yeah, yeah. Anything that's got like microtransactions, like they're essentially riding their ass on a bunch of stuff because they've pretty much microtransactions have just been outlawed. Period. Dot. And of course, Fortnite depends on that, so there's no point in keeping it around if there's no way for them to really make money.
Yeah.
So, you know, away it goes. Also, other things closing down. Nintendo's closing its California and Toronto offices.
Fun.
Shutdowns
are always good.
I need to know what Root Beer's talking about in chat. Still waiting for that penis game. The Switch port. What the fuck are you talking about?
Oh, God. What the fuck was the name? I can't remember the name of it now. Devolver Dick Game. Let me look that up. Genital Jousting. That's what it was.
Oh, my God.
Oh my god, that game is ridiculous. Yeah, genital jousting. Aki, you've never seen that game?
No, I have not.
You need to play that game. It is a dick with balls, and the dick with balls has an anus, and you have to fuck the other anuses without getting fucked yourself. Yeah.
Okay.
you're just a dick, and you got to find a home, basically.
Okay, then.
Yeah, you just find a home, you burrow into a home, and that's the end of the round.
Oh god, that sounds terrible.
It's incredible. It is absolutely incredible.
Alrighty. Anyway, the 10 cent and purchase of Sumo Group is now coming under investigation by the U.S. government. Pretty much, it just has to do with like data sharing and national security and all that kind of shit. Same shit that TikTok was getting investigated for.
Who's getting investigated? I missed the beginning of that sentence.
Tencent.
Oh, that Tencent. Doesn't shock me.
Back in over the summer, they announced their purchase of Sumo. And so that's now being investigated by the U.S. and I think the British government too.
Nice.
Did we talk about Animal Crossing New Horizons, like the final DLC for it? Did we talk about that last week or no?
I mean, we talked about the DLC previously, but What did you want to mention about it?
It's the final paid content for it. No. So, you know.
Well, it's the only paid content for it.
That's true. Also, the version 2.0 update will also be the last free update as well. Mm. So, support for that game is obviously ending. And then the last bit of news that I have is Snoop Dogg says that Dr. Dre is making music for an upcoming GTA game. Nobody else has confirmed it, so Snoop might have accidentally said shit that he wasn't supposed to.
Shocking. I bet he was high, too.
I mean, it's
of course Snoop Dogg, he was. he could talk about anything, and you could say, probably high, and you'd probably be fucking right.
According to Snoop, I do know he's in the studio. I do know he's making great fucking music, and some of his music is connected to the GTA game that's coming out. So I think that will be on the way that his music will be released through the GTA video game.
Hmm. So, I wonder if they did anything for San Andreas remaster.
Oh, that's an interesting point. I wonder, maybe that's what he's talking about. Like did he have any music in San Andreas? Dr. Dre, San and ooh, hold on, maybe.
Yeah,
yes, he did.
Yeah,
he had a bunch of stuff featuring Snoop Dogg, and also, yeah. I mean, he did have stuff in San Andreas. That was a good call.
Maybe it's connected to San Andreas Remastered. We'll find out next week. We'll find out when San Andreas Remastered hits, along with 3 and Vice City Remastered.
He also shows up as himself in Grand Theft Auto Online.
Well, maybe it'll be content through GTA Online.
Maybe. That'd be interesting.
That would make sense, too. But yeah, Aki, any news on your end?
God, no. That would mean I'd have to pay attention to fucking news. I can't do that.
Cool. You ready for reviews, then?
Sure. At least I'm honest. I'm not going to try and bullshit you. I don't pay attention to the news. I mean, I'm just glad that I knew about the Microsoft Sega thing. That was impressive that I even knew that much. Okay, you should be happy.
True. All right, well, should we get to reviews then?
Sure.
All right, first review tonight is for the Turtle Beach Neat Skyline microphone. It is available now for $69.99 on the Turtle Beach website. No matter how you're communicating with the outside world, it's important to be heard. Working from home to the office to the classroom, Skyline will let you command the room with crystal clear, high quality, 24-bit, 96 kilohertz digital audio. Uptown, downtown, the Skyline will take your audio to new heights. Aki, tell us a little bit about the Turtle Beach Neat Skyline microphone.
Okay. It's really easy to set up, as you would probably expect for most mics in these days and age. You just plug it the fuck in, it works. Yay! this one surprised me, because I saw what it looked like, and I thought it was going to be a mic that had a stand it just sat on, basically. But no, it's all one thing.
Hmm.
Which is interesting. So it stands up pretty high. It's like 6 inches tall or something like that. So it's a lot closer to my face than my last mic, which might be part of the reason why I sound a little better now. Has a mute button on the bass, which is really squishy, which is just interesting to me. I wasn't expecting a squishy mute button. Usually all of them I've ever had, there was a hard button that you just pushed in and it turned off. No, this one's a little squishy thing. It's fantastic.
Maybe it's to prevent any kind of audible click of like pressing the button and causing vibration through the microphone.
That could be. It is real hard not to cause a vibration with this microphone, even just gently touching it. And it's very, very audible, which kind of surprised me.
What are you giggling about?
I was really hoping that the word sensitive was going to get worked in there somewhere. Just dirty. Anyway, continue.
Okay. And I guess I will have to say it. The mic is very sensitive. I was going to say that, and you know, there you go. I found that when I was messing with the gain levels or whatever the hell it's called for this thing, it started off when I plugged it in, it started off at 5. My other mic, the Meteor mic that I use usually, started at like a 32, which they picked up about the same at those levels, which means this is significantly more sensitive. It's a lot easier to pick up a lot more stuff. And
like during Jacob's story, you're
yeah. Mm-hmm. And I turned the gain down even, because at 5% it was able to pick up my fucking fan on my computer perfectly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Have you tried like playing anything like crap, what's that alien game?
Isolation.
Thank you. Isolation. Like, I don't know if you've seen the YouTube clip where the guy he farts and his mic actually picks it up, and like so the alien just immediately like swarms him and kills him because of it.
No, I do not have that on Steam because my PC probably couldn't manage to play that.
Damn it. I was hoping for a story like that.
That would have been fucking hilarious. No, the most that I've done with this is talk on here and talk in a Pathfinder session. So nothing too exciting. So it's significantly more sensitive. So I had to turn it down so it wouldn't pick up my fan to almost non-existent. I think it's at like a 2 or 3 right now. It's almost set to where it mutes itself.
Oh, wow. That is sensitive.
At 0, it won't pick up anything, period. I could scream into it and it wouldn't pick up anything. It's at a 2 or 3 right now. It's insane. And I'm sitting a decent distance away from this thing. I'm sitting straight up. I'm not hunched over my fucking desk like some sort of fucking Neanderthal. This is a lot better. Because usually at this distance, you guys are like, you're too far away from the mic.
Yeah, lean back in your chair and talk.
Hold on, let me mute myself so you don't hear the squeaking of the chair.
No, leave the squeaking.
Okay. God, that had to have been loud. How can you hear me?
You sound normal. Like, there's a little bit of room noise.
As normal as you can
sound. Yeah, there's a little bit of room noise. You could tell that you're a bit further away from the mic, but it's still really clear and easy to hear you.
Yeah, I'm sitting about 2 feet away from this mic, I think.
This sounds like your old mic right now.
Oh, wow. What, when I'm close up?
No, like right now, it sounds like your old mic.
Oh, wow.
How it's like kind of roomy and like, now get close again.
God, I hate that noise.
And now you're nice and clear and loud. And yeah, this is a solid mic for $70. I think what do you think of it for 70?
For this, my other one costs fucking 90. If this sounds better, oh, hell yeah. Yeah. This one I wouldn't say is as easy to transport as my other one, because my other one, you know, fits in your hand. It's so damn small.
Yeah, this one's meant to be like on a desk and stationary.
This also wouldn't work in a, what the fuck's it called? The thing that holds your mic, like what you have.
No, a mic stand?
Yes. This is not made for one of those. So you can't, I don't think you could use any of them with this mic. Because it is a very thin, square. I don't think this would work in that. But as shown, I don't know if you would need it. It's nice and thin, and it's kind of just out of the way. You can't speak directly forward into it. I have to set it off to the side, because if you speak directly forward into it, you hear the noises of, like, any time air escapes your mouth, you hear it.
Yeah.
And it's loud, obviously.
You get the pops and clicks and shit like that.
Yeah, so as long as you put it just slightly off to the side, still facing towards you, it's really good. And it's cheaper than my other mic, so yeah. There's that.
All right, so yeah, $70 available on the Turtle Beach website. If you're interested, you could pick that up. Shout out to Turtle Beach for letting us check this one out. Now, Aki, you have a new microphone, and it sounds really good, and the audio quality is significantly better than what you had.
Awesome.
So, rock on. Got some games to talk about. Are you going to buy another one for your other place?
I might. Wait, I very well might.
Other place?
Yeah, I do reviews at 3 different places.
Okay. I thought you meant like different locations.
I do. Yeah. They're all 3 different locations. Yeah. I do it here at my house, sometimes at my parents' house, who live about 5 miles away, and sometimes in Vegas. I spend a few months there every year.
Hold up. All right. All right. First off, like 2 weeks ago, I found out that you have a Facebook profile that you haven't shared, which is a pain in the ass because then I can't tag you in anything.
Good.
And now I'm finding out that you just randomly spend like months at a time in Vegas.
Yeah.
What?
I
spy my work, obviously.
My grandparents live out there, and I help them out, so they save all the stuff, like if they want to do landscaping or any of that kind of crap, they wait until I come up for a few months out of the year, and then I do it all for them, because they're old, and I'm not.
Okay, so you're a showgirl in Vegas, okay.
God, I wish the money would be amazing. You just
said that.
I'm not attractive enough to be a showgirl in Vegas. I wish.
What Wugga says, one for home, one for work, and one for the beach house.
Yeah, pretty much.
The timeshare down in Cancun. All right, we got some games to talk about. First game to talk about tonight is called PJ Masks Heroes of the Night, developed by Patoon Studio, published by Outright Games, released October 29th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, PC, and Stadia for $39.99. Go into the night to save the day as Catboy, Owlette, and Gecko. Use your superpowers to explore the world of PJ Masks and find secret collectibles in a platforming adventure for little heroes. Can you stop villains Romeo, Luna Girl, and Night Ninja taking over the world? Jacob, tell us about your time with PJ Masks.
Unfortunately, this isn't going to be one of those where my kids are on, so I apologize for that. It's way too late for them to review.
What, your kids aren't up at 10 o'clock at night?
No, believe it or not. We try really hard to get them in bed by, like, before 9 o'clock.
Parenting. Yeah. Look at you.
The concept of having a bedtime is so foreign to me.
Not have a bedtime as a kid?
No, never. I also
you
didn't.
Just ran around until you fell asleep randomly in the house?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, just like no one in my family ever paid attention to ratings of movies. Hell, I watched Species when I was in middle school.
That's appropriate. I mean,
yeah, a lot of us have.
Yeah, I mean,
a lot of us grew up to that movie.
My pants feel funny.
I really liked that movie too, so I totally understand that.
Hey, Mom, my friend lent me the movie Species to watch tonight. I'm going to watch it with my friends, and then we're going to, oh my God, I watched Species. What's happening to me?
My grandparents. Oh, my Lord. Watched that movie with me.
Oh, no.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, they got the movie to watch, and they were like, yeah, you can watch it. They didn't care.
Oh, geez, yeah,
I loved that movie for obvious reasons.
Honestly,
aren't her titties wonderful?
Her picks were fantastic.
Honestly, one of my favorite weekends in college, we discovered that like the local TV station was like having a Species marathon, because I think it was Species 3 had just been released on DVD.
That one was such a shame.
All right, well, hold on. Okay, so none of us had watched Species before. We all just knew it was like some sci-fi thing, and we were all baked as hell. And like, and so we're just watching this movie, and like, we're just like, okay, it's like, blah, blah, blah. What? Holy God, this is the best thing ever. And like, we were just baked through like the entire trilogy at the time, right? Because now there's a fourth one, but yeah, like, none of it makes sense. And at the same time, like, the first time that you see, like, what? This is like, they're fighting it. There's this weird alien sex thing that's happening too. Like, none of like, it just catches.
Okay, we're starting this review over. First game to talk about tonight is called PJ Masks: Heroes of the Night, developed by Patoon Studio, published by Outright Games, released October 29th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, PC, and Stadia for $39.99. Go into the night to save the day as Catboy, Owlette, and Gecko. Use your superpowers to explore the world of PJ Masks and find secret collectibles in a platforming adventure for little heroes. Can you stop the villains from taking over the world? Jacob, tell us about this game without going into some story about Species.
Yeah, it's Aki's fault. Aki said,
don't care. Tell us about the game.
All right. So the whole premise of PJ Masks is that it's like these little kids who are also superheroes, but they only turn into superheroes like at nighttime when they're supposed to be in bed, which turns it into this like mini Batman kind of thing where you're also wondering, like, as a parent, you're also like, holy crap, these kids are like up all night. And then it's like they're supposed to function during the day. And the show doesn't really ever explain it. Like, it's weird. But anyway, so with this game, it is it's just pretty standard. Like, the level introduces you to some bad guy character. You take control of one of the PJ Masks characters. You know, you have Gecko, Owlette, and
Catboy,
thank you. I'm not as much of a fan of PJ Masks as my kids are. Sorry. It's not like Thomas and Friends where I ended up knowing like every single engine and stuff like that.
Tangent. Get back to it.
Yes. Anyway, so you start off as one of them. Eventually you have to do a vehicle portion, and then you switch back over to one of the other characters, and then you have to take over, like, you have to take on the bad guy. But everything is just super, like, it's simple. It's simple stuff. It's stuff that my 4-year-old son can do. And it's just, it's a lot of platforming through most of it, except for the vehicle thing, which is really just on rails. You just get to decide which part of the screen you're going to be on. You have to collect some amulets, you have to collect coins, and then at the end of the level, after you've defeated the bad guy, and then they run away, it's just like, you destroyed my homework eating machine. Yeah, like, I'll get you next time, Gadget. That kind of stuff. You're treated to, like, this trophy kind of thing, or like a little diorama scene that you get at the end of it. And then you just go into the next level, and it's a different enemy, and you just wash, rinse, repeat. The action within the game, to be honest, it feels very similar to the Paw Patrol games, which Outright has also released. And
yeah, we actually had to check and make sure if it was developed by the same studio as.
Well, there was that. The other thing is that before we actually got the review copy, my kids, you know, they found out that there was an Xbox game coming, and they were like, oh, can we watch a gameplay video? And they were, and so I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. So I fired it up for them, and they're like, this is a game on our iPad. And I'm like, what? Like, because I hadn't read anything about this being a port. So I went off and checked their iPad game. It's not a port. My kids are just like, oh, my game has platforming in that one. This has platforming. Equals same game. However, as a parent and video game critic, I can tell you, very much not the same game. So allay your fears on that. But my issue with it is that it's just like, especially compared to the Paw Patrol games, it just felt like the character movements were so slow. everything they did just felt like this, like, and the thing is, like, there was never any, like, stuttering or anything like that, or, like, you know, an obvious gameplay slowdown. It's just, they just move slow. And it's fine, because, I mean, my four-year-old, like, I mean, he's able to easily grasp the gameplay with it. My only issue, I mean, I guess it's good in that regard, but at the same time, he also can do the Paw Patrol games with no issue now. And so, I don't know, I feel like they could have sped it up. And my other thing is that the vehicle portions, which are also very much similar to the Paw Patrol one, except with the Air one, you have like a full screen, like a full screen that you can move around in instead of the normal three lanes. The game makes no warning that this is going to happen. It doesn't explain to the kids, like, oh, this is how you move through, like, the nine different areas that your ship can theoretically be in. And so, like, the on-rails portion can be really difficult to gauge where you're actually supposed to be so you can collect coins and stuff like that. I mean, none of it really matters. Like, you're going to beat the level anyway. It's just, like, do you want the how bad do you want these trophies? All in all, like, for $30...
$40. $39.99.
Oh, that's weird, because I actually checked it before popping in, and I was seeing people selling it for $30. So,
Let me...
Anyway,
to look on the store and double check.
Anyway, you know, it's just, if your kid's a fan of PJ Masks, like, they're going to love this. It's a definitely better version of what's already out there. Like, going back to, as I was saying, like, the iPad game, like, has platforming and stuff like that. This is way better platforming than that. So
yeah, it is definitely $39.99 on Xbox Store. I would imagine it's the same on Switch and PlayStation. Might be cheaper on PC, or it might just be cheaper in physical stores. Well, might be, I mean, on sale.
Maybe it's like a week one discount or something like that. Like, I don't know. Anyway, but yeah, as I was saying, like, you know, if your kid's a fan of PJ Masks, this is a decent game to get them into. In terms of, like, a my first, like, platformer or something like that, Outright has other games that are better, but all in all, for a licensed game, it's not bad. The target market is kids between the ages of, like, three to seven. I mean, as much as my seven-year-old is just like, oh, I'm not interested in it, like, he still demanded some time playing it, so... So, you know, like, the older kids still may like it as well. But yeah, I mean,
so $40, your verdict.
If you're a parent with kids, yeah. If not, this is something that, like, this is not one of the best titles that Outright has published. I'm still actually pretty blown away by their Addams Family 2 game. But as I said, like, this isn't the best Outright title published, but it's all right. I mean,
Carnage says the target market is achievement hunters.
Well, if you're an achievement hunter, then yeah, this is right up your alley.
There you go. All right, next game to talk about is Fatal Frame: Maiden of Blackwater, developed and published by Koei Tecmo, released October 28th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, Switch, and Steam for $39.99. This mysterious and intertwined story follows three protagonists as each of them explores the ominous Mount Hikami, a place where many came to die, and the secrets that it hides. Aki, tell us about Fatal Frame.
All right. I have never played one of these before. I've always heard how good they were. Never played them. So this was a interesting thing to look at the very least. In this, everyone lives in this little town that is like one of those dead end, go nowhere, there's nothing here, no one visits types of towns. Going towards Ghost Town even, which is fantastic. Originally there was going to be this giant road. It was originally a tourist spot, and part of that was because of this shrine that they had, and a giant inn that was there, and some other crap, but everything went to shit and a landslide happened and a lot of people died, so yay, and they never apparently decided to clear anything up. because fuck it, why bother doing that to help the town? Just leave it all under rubble and let the town die, because genius ideas. And you first start off playing as Yuri. She's a young, I assume, high school student-aged girl, and she's with an older woman who's investigating the inn that was crushed in the landslide to find something for fucking someone. You find out who at the end of it, but meh. And you guys have the camera obscura, which is a camera that takes pictures of the dead and can exorcise them even, which is super cool. So you're going around, she teaches it how to use it and how to use your little powers that help you figure out where things are and all this other stuff. And you find it, and then you're attacked by ghosts, because of course you are. And you kick their ass by taking pictures of their ugly mugs. It's great. And by doing all of this, you get points. Not every ghost you photograph is there to kick your ass. Only a few of them are. Sometimes they're just like images of the past, and that's all they are. But you want to take pictures of those too, because at the very end of the level, you get a grade and you get points. Every one of the if you get a picture where the little crosshair is on their face, you tend to get more points than if it's elsewhere. And those points gives you gradings from, I assume, F if you really, really suck ass at the game. I can't imagine you being that bad at it, to an S rank. Because like most of the levels that I've managed to get through so far, I've gotten S ranks without even attempting it. And I've never played one of these games before, so I'm fiddling around like a chicken with its fucking head cut off. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. And the points you can use to upgrade your camera or buy different things for each individual level. Those things disappear when you're done with that level. So, you know, some of the things you can buy are things to get rid of curses that you obtain by being in the water, because apparently the water of this place is cursed. There's some healing items. You get different types of film that do more damage, and eventually also not only do more damage, but take less time for your camera to reload so you can take the next picture, because all of these are single pictures that they can take. Yay! No automatic good cameras these days. They really need to update these cameras to be fucking digital is what they need to do. get like 50 pictures in like 2 seconds. That's what they fucking need. Oh, come on, it'd be awesome. Anyways, I saw you shaking your head. Fuck you. That'd be great. So all the camera upgrades you buy, you can only buy them in the level. And the reason for that is because there's multiple cameras. Each one of the main characters has their own camera obscura, and they're all completely different. So they each have their own upgrades. So you can only buy the upgrades in the level. There are some other camera upgrades that you can buy that are shared between all of them, but there's not many of those. Most of them are just buying the film. So most of the things you buy before the level is just your healing items, your different types of camera films, et cetera, et cetera. They all take points, but at the end of the level, the more of each one of these items that you have, the higher the points are that you have at the end of the level, because they give you points as well. There's no point in buying them if you don't need them, though, because you'll find a whole bunch of all this crap in the level itself. So it's better to not spend points and get a fuck ton of points than spend a bunch of points and get a fuck ton of points anyways. You're just losing out on points at that point. God, I'm using the word point a lot.
You are.
I don't like that. Jesus.
Get to the point.
Every one of these characters are related to some degree, mostly because they're all going to the same fucking area. Because, you know, none of them apparently care to listen to any of the horror stories of this place. Because it is well known that you do not look at the mountain that this inn and all the shrine and all that shit is on. You don't look at it when the sun is setting because it sets behind it, and that brings bad omens to you, and you sure as fuck don't go up it when it's nighttime because everyone who has disappeared or died up there. They've never come back.
Isn't that the point of the game? You have to go up there?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, okay. Every one of the characters went up there because none of them are very smart. And the reason why Yuri heads up there is because her master went up there to find a missing girl. So you go up there because she hasn't been back in a few days. Because, you know, you, a trainee, you can, you know, that's totally where you belong, in danger. Totally. So you head up there to go find her. And then there's Rin, who has been having nightmares about some weird ritual where someone is killed. And he goes up there to try and figure out what's going on because he knows it's connected to this place because the book you find is for him. It's a post-mortem picture book, i.e. pictures of dead people. Yay!
Yay!
Because, you know, that's not creepy at all. So all the characters are connected to this place and to varying degrees connected to each other, obviously, because, again, you found the book for him. And now he's up there because, you know, life. So, yeah, and you're all up there. Just end up, you're trying to find the missing girl and trying to get the fuck off of there yourselves without dying. So, yay! You're all fucked. At least if you're me anyways, you're all fucked.
Can I interrupt for a second?
Sure.
Okay, so out of curiosity, did you finish the game?
I have not yet, no.
Okay, and, I mean, you still might be able to answer this. So, out of curiosity, like, is it possible for every single character to make it off the island or the mountain or whatever? Or does, like, the plot determine whether or not that person dies anyway?
Every level you play as one of them. So, if you die in a level, you just have to restart.
Okay. Because I was wondering if it was going to be something like the old Capcom game Sweet Home. That was based on some movie and ended up becoming like the basis for the Resident Evil games where it's like, theoretically you could make it out of the house with everyone alive. But there was also like multiple endings where like, you know, if only five people made it, only four people made it, that kind of stuff. So I was wondering if this game was the same.
No. If a character dies in it, in story, it's going to happen, period.
Okay.
But yeah. So I think that's a good majority of it. All the controls are kind of tanky.
No, I would imagine that from a survival horror that was built around tank controls.
Yeah, I really would have liked them to have refined that a little bit when they ported it over. But, you know, otherwise it's pretty good. You can also buy outfits for the characters if you care about how they look. I know from the beginning, Rin, the only guy character, he has a groom outfit, which looks terrible on him, but, you know, hey. And the other girls, you know, they have, you know, these gothic, a white gothic outfit and a black gothic outfit. One has a punk rock outfit, which looks bitchin' and is what is equipped on her for me. The other one has a slutty cocktail dress. Both of them have swimsuits.
Okay, so a lot of outfits. The game is $40. What are you thinking of it?
I really liked it. And I think because you're going to have to replay a number of these levels in order to buy all the upgrades, I think it's probably a value worth your money, and it's pretty fun. I enjoyed myself. I understand why people like these games now. This was pretty fun.
Cool, works for me. Next game to talk about is Unpacking, developed by Witchbeam, published by Humble Games, released November 2nd on Xbox One, Switch, and PC for $19.99, also available as part of Xbox Game Pass. Unpacking is a Zen game about the familiar experience of pulling possessions out of boxes and fitting them into a new home. Part block-fitting puzzle, part home decoration, you're invited to create a satisfying living space while learning clues about the life you're unpacking. Jacob, tell us about your time with Unpacking.
I'm jealous, just so you know.
It's on Game Pass. Play it.
I know, but still, I wanted the game.
It's on Game Pass. Play it.
First off, I just want to get this out of the way. This game was bullshit. I've never had an unpacking of my house ever go this smoothly. That being said, the game is actually a lot of fun. It is very much a Zen-like experience, and pretty much you're just pulling stuff out of the boxes and figuring out where you want it to go. Like, does it go on a shelf? Do you want it to go on a bed? Do you want it to go up on a wall? And for the most part, the game doesn't really care where you put stuff, although there is like a very specific thing that, like, after you've unpacked everything, the game will have stuff highlighted in red, and you have to figure out where the game actually wants you to have that stuff put. But for the most part, it's just like, you just get to decorate your room as you want. Like, as long as the poster's on a wall, the game does not care. As long as it's on a specific, like, maybe something was supposed to be on this bookshelf on this side of the wall, like, as opposed to, you know, as opposed to this other bookshelf. The only one that really threw me for a loop, and of course, it's like, it was on the first level, and it was, like, in retrospect, I was just like, yeah, no shit. Like, there's a diary, and, like, so, spoilers, I'm going to tell you where to put it. There's this book that looks like a diary, and, at the end of the level, it was the last thing, and I couldn't figure out what the heck I was supposed to do, and then I realized, oh, there's a desk in the room. Maybe I should see if there's a drawer that could open up, and sure enough, you know, the drawer opens up, and that's where you're supposed to put your diary. Duh. But yeah, and then it's just like, so then you complete the level, cool, and then it moves on to another point in that person's life, and you have, like, it's more complicated, but it's not. You just unpack the boxes and you just put the stuff wherever and you just keep doing it. And to be honest, it was pretty fun. It was a very chill game. And I really recommend that you check it out. You know, as Joe said, it's available for purchase now and it's on Game Pass. So either way, whether you buy it or whether you just download it for however long Game Pass has it, check it out.
You like speed ran that one.
I know it's one of my quicker reviews, but it's just like it.
I mean, there's definitely some more to talk about. There's eight levels, so there's definitely a lot of content in the game. The whole grading thing, I appreciate the fact that it's very loose with the grading on where you could put stuff. Like, if there's something that goes on a bookshelf, it could go on fucking any bookshelf in the house. It doesn't matter what bookshelf it goes on. I think that that diary is basically like the only thing that really threw anyone for a loop. Everything else is, it's pretty much where would you put it normally, and that's where it goes. You could stack stuff basically wherever you want. I love the achievement list in this game. It is such a creative achievement list. Like, you got here's a spoiler, you get an achievement for like putting a toaster in the bathtub.
I did not do that.
Yeah. I got all the achievements in this game through Game Pass, by the way. I did this in like 2 days. I fucking love this game. It's just such creative achievement list. It's such a fun achievement list. Makes you do some really fun things. Some of the objects in the levels, you can hit the B button and manipulate and interact with. I love the throwback video game consoles that are in there that look very much like a console, but just different enough that they could get away with it. But, yeah, $20 on this one. What do you think?
For $20? Absolutely. I mean, as I said, whether you purchase this game or, you know, play it through Game Pass, like, I definitely recommend everyone check this one out. It's a nice chill game. That I really do recommend. It's one of my favorites that I've played this year. So
yeah, it's definitely a worthwhile experience. Everyone needs to check out. Next game is Backbone, developed by Eggnut, published by Raw Fury, released October 28th on Xbox One and PS4 for $24.99. You're not special, you're not a hero. Thrust into unfortunate circumstances, you find yourself with no other option than to unravel what might be your biggest case yet. There's no choice. We change, but we change nothing. Get to work, detective. Aki, what the hell's going on in Backbone?
Okay, and this, you play as a raccoon private detective. So, you're originally hired to go find Miss Otter's shitty, suspected cheating husband, Mr. Otter. And, well, things go tits up pretty fucking fast. Lots of bad things happen, and you end up finding out about a government conspiracy for the ruling class to eat things they shouldn't be eating. We'll list it like that. Come to find that there's human experiments being, you know, done. So it's up to you to try and stop this and make the world a better place. It's about maybe a 6-hour game. Most of it is just walking around. This is a lot of walking around in this one. Most of it is, you know, you have to wait for things, and then you talk to people, and you have to figure out what the hell they're doing and why. I don't think you can really fail to find any of that information out, though, regardless of what you pick. So it ends up being, do you want to go the Paragon or the Renegade choices in this game? And there's not a lot more to it, sadly, because that would be giving away a lot of the story. Because very quickly, the story goes out of control. So I don't want to go too far into it. God, it just sounds so boring when I talk about it, but it's really not. God. You end up teaming up with a fox who's a journalist to figure out about this conspiracy, and it just keeps growing and growing and growing, and you do not have a fun time with it. You especially do not have a fun time with it because the journalist has you do fucking everything, really. She does nothing but order you around, and that's her entire goal in this game, it feels like, is just to make your life shit by making you go do the shit things and being like, oh, well, now I need you to go do this other thing. It's like, bitch, I nearly died. What the hell more do you want me to do? But you do have to deal with things like racism. Raccoons are apparently seen as very bad, very shitty, very shifty, you know. And so are some other species. Generally, like, they have a sloth in it, and even the sloth's like, no, people don't like me because they consider me slow. Haha, funny, not so funny. It deals with some serious stuff, but it's kind of like, it barely deals with it. It brings it up as this is just reality, which I can appreciate that because they don't shy away from it, but that's not the story they're trying to specifically tell. Yeah. But yeah, it does not end. Things do not end well for you. And I don't think there is a way to make things end well for you, which is,
oh man.
Yeah, it's kind of sad because you grow to kind of like the character. Cause again, you're playing them, you're choosing how they interact with people and stuff, but like everything just goes to shit. It's like, you're just trying to make do with what you got at that point. It's just like, man, this is all just going right downhill. This isn't even hell in a handbasket.
Don't say how low it gets, because we don't want to ruin it for the people who want to play it. But $25 on this one. What do you think of it?
Oh, I'm totally for this. I really liked the interacting with other people because you can be very nice, you can straight up lie to people, or you can be the biggest dick on the planet, which is also really fun. So yeah, I'm all for it. I think it's good. You can beat it in like 6 hours, and you will need to play through it. If you're going for all the achievements, you'll have to play through it at least 2.5 times.
Cool. And if you're on the fence, it is also part of Xbox Game Pass.
Go play it, motherfuckers.
Yeah, go play it. There you go. Next game is Bloody Rally Show, developed by Kodo Linesia, published by Digirati, released November 3rd on PS4, 4th on Switch, 5th on Xbox One for $19.99. Welcome to Bloody Rally Show, a head-on smash between frenetic top-down arcade racing and hyper-violent reality TV. You must drift, boost, and blast to keep the viewers entertained and your paymasters happy. Go full throttle and drive to survive. Includes local multiplayer mayhem for up to four players, which we never get to check out because we're lonely people.
Yeah, and I don't like you enough to come up all the way up there just to test out a game.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So, Jacob, tell us about Bloody Rally Show.
So, pretty much, if you've ever seen the Death Race 2000, the original film, or any of, like, the... I mean, they've rebooted it years ago, and I think they made, like, three or four movies based on it. So pretty much what it is that you just race around a track or from point A to point B, and you fill up your nitro by running over people. Like, you run over the spectators, you run over the camera crew. Anybody that you can hit, just do it. And with that, you as I said, that fills up your nitro. You also have weapons that you can use within the game. But yeah, it's pretty much just a top-down racer that, you know, as I said, you've run out. Like, it's just like a lot of violence, pixelated violence, but still violence nonetheless. And I'm not gonna lie, I'm not exactly the biggest fan of top down racers because a lot of the times I feel like the controls just don't mesh. The controls are real tight on this one, and I do appreciate that like they've really took the time to like not just focus on the violence. But
yeah, actually, I had a better time controlling this game than I did trying to control Circuit Superstars that just came out recently.
Yeah, like I went in there like because Joe was just like, "Yo, this is actually a good game. You should try it." And so I did, even though I told him like I don't really like top down racers. As I said, the control like it controls like a dream as far as top down racers that I've played go. So I first off to the makers of it, I really do appreciate the work that you folks put into just on the gameplay itself. Now with that, like, of course there's a quick race options and like you could decide, like there's all sorts of customizable stuff. Like, do you want it to be a point A, point B? Do you want it to be laps? Do you want weapons on, off, that kind of stuff? Plenty of customization options. But there's also a story mode to it, which I thought was a really nice thing. And it really does take the spirit of, the absurdity of Death Race 2000, like Roger Corman's old film, and it just amps it up. Like the dialogue is funny and snappy. The situations are ridiculous. I mean, it's like you're pretty much reading like a comic book while you're doing it. But during the season mode, you pretty much just have to like, you know, you start off with this crap car. You enter in these races, you win races, hopefully, and you upgrade your car and you just keep moving on through the story and stuff like that. And it's honestly a pretty satisfying experience. Now, obviously, as Joe and I both said, we didn't get the chance to test out any of the multiplayer stuff with it, but I would imagine that's got to be a ton of fun to get like four people drunk as crap and, and like, you know, just tearing up the track and running over a ton of people. Did you have anything you wanted to add, Joe?
It's just fun. I haven't really had this much fun with a top-down racer in quite a while because no one ever gets the controls right. Like, the controls in this game felt really good, and it felt like the car actually would go where I wanted it to go.
Yeah.
Which is important in a game like this. The bloodiness is hilarious. The first time I played it and ran someone over and gotten an achievement for it, I was like, I'm going to like this game. And you just drive around just splattering people. You can have up to 100 racers in a race.
In the custom thing?
With weapons.
Oh my god, I didn't fool around with the customization that much, but not that much, but not to that level. Man, I didn't even think to try
100 cars.
How did it do? Did it like slow down or anything like that?
No, there was no slowdown that I noticed. I was on a Series X, but it was just mayhem. Like weapons were just going Oh no, I didn't survive it at all. I let it go for like 2 minutes because I set it to 100 people. I wanted to do the 100 lap achievement. I was like, oh yeah, let's set it to 100 people. This will be funny. And because I had weapons on, it was just chaos. It was absolute bedlam. It was 100% chaos.
The best thing ever, then.
Oh, God, it was hilarious. I laughed for about 2 minutes, and then I turned it off and switched it to 10 racers with weapons, which I managed to actually finish that one and get my achievement. I didn't win, but I finished. I love the weapons in the game, too. Like, there's a pedestrian cannon where you shoot a pedestrian, and it does a shitload of damage. And you can either wait a while for it to recharge, or you run someone over and refill it to shoot again.
Oh, hell yes.
Like, it's just, it's crazy stupid.
The weapons are well thought out.
Yeah, it's just fun, and they nailed the controls, they nailed the fun. $20, I give this one a buy it. What do you think?
So cheap ass Jacob would normally be like, you know, if this was 15, like, I'd be more comfortable. Here's the thing, I'm telling cheap ass Jacob to shut the hell up. As I said before, they actually got the controls like spot on, perfect for a top down racer, and because of that, $20, totally worth it.
Yeah.
If you love top down racers, and if you love over the top ridiculous like violence, this is going to be right up your alley.
Oh, definitely didn't even mention the game is endless because the courses can be randomized.
Yeah. So and also you can build courses, yeah, too.
So you could just race on different courses forever. All right, next game to talk about is Corpse Party, developed by Mages, published by XSEED and Marvelous USA. Released October 20th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $19.99. A friendship ritual gone awry transports a high school student and her friends to an alternate reality version of a tragedy-stricken institution that stood on the site of their own school long ago. As the vengeful spirits of elementary school students threaten their lives and their sanity, their only hope of survival, much less escape, is to uncover the chilling details surrounding the murders of those trapped before them. Aki, tell us about Corpse Party.
Okay. This is a... Yeah, there's a reason for its name. You guys, as stated, you do this very weird occulty fucking ritual so that you all will stay friends forever and you'll all meet again and all this other stuff by... telling somebody to keep you together over this paper doll, and then everyone grabbing it and ripping it to shreds and holding on to a piece of it. Because, you know, that's always how you do a good thing, is by doing shit like that. That never ends up being a fucking curse, ever, obviously. Fucking idiots. You're all a bunch of high school students who have the intelligence of mongoose, and an earthquake happens and you awaken in another school building and you're like, what the fuck? And half the stuff that's there seems to be like statues. They don't actually function. They don't really seem to properly exist. Like, you might see a book on a table, but the character's like, yeah, that's not a real book. You can't flip any of the pages. You can't lift it off of it. It just exists there and only there. It's like, oh, that's not bad at all. No. And you're trying to escape. And in this place, you keep finding dead people. Like, long since dead people. Like, skeletons at this point, and bits of viscera and the like, which is pretty cool, actually. at least on my end, it's pretty cool. For the characters you play as, not so cool. and basically, you walk around and you're just exploring this place, trying to figure out how to get with the rest of your friends, because 9 or 10 of you got teleported to the shithole, and every chapter you play as a different group of the kids, because only two or three of them are together, and you're all just trying to find a way to get everyone grouped up and get the fuck out of here, because this place is out of time and in nowhere specific, because it's just a place that exists on the whims of vengeful spirits. At least so says the ghost of a dead person anyways, apparently. And basically this is die until you figure out how to do it correctly, the game. Realistically speaking, yeah. This is very much made for you to explore and to try and get out and then die and then have to figure out what you fucked up at and try and get out again. So yeah, it's pretty fun. The characters and their interactions with each other can be pretty funny. For instance, in chapter one, and that's the only chapter I'm really going to talk about because I don't want to spoil anything. Two girls are in there together. They're friends with each other. Very close friends. They both have similar home lives. And you play as one of them with the other one always around you, so they're constantly talking to each other. And in one section, the one you don't control asks you to give them some cream to put on their butt because their butt is dry.
Okay.
Yeah, it just comes out of fucking nowhere. And you're like, okay, yeah, sure.
Have some ass cream. Are you cold? Are you Southern? No, ass cream. Ass cream.
Yeah.
Ice cream? No, ass cream.
Yeah. And then, you know, later on in it, they're talking about it, the boy that your character likes and all that other stuff. And it just seems like stuff that people would say, a little outlandish sometimes. But overall, they really seem to like each other and to be friends with each other. And that's, I think, where this thing really does really well, is character interactions. They're fucking fantastic. 'Cause there's a handful of wrong ends and one good end for every chapter. And most of them are, you die, you die, you die. Oh, you succeeded. Move on to the next group of kids where you die, you die, you die. Oh, you got it right. Move to the next kid. So it's really more about the kids interacting with each other, which it's really fun. It's kind of adorable. It's really funny. In this absolute fucking horror setting where things do not go well. If you're like, I don't know if I'll like this, I'm pretty sure there's an anime based on this. Go watch it. You'll very quickly understand whether you want anything to fucking do with this or not. 'Cause that's how I knew I totally wanted this game. 'Cause I've seen it. I was like, oh, yay.
Oh, geez.
I get to kill some people.
Oh man! Well, the game is $20. What do you think?
I'm for it. This is a port of the better version of the games. Maybe even updated a little beyond that. I'm not entirely sure, because there's been a few of these of Corpse Party released, and I believe this is the last version that had just extra scenes and extra endings and stuff put in it. It could have even more. I'm not entirely sure, because I haven't gotten quite to that point yet where I've been able to see if it has more stuff than the last version did. But so far, it seems to at least be that version, which means you have significantly more to do in it, because you have the main game and then you have extra chapters and even some chapters that you can unlock, which are just extra things you can watch that, again, other characters and stuff. So, yeah, I'm all for it. I think it's really, really well written. And I just... It's horror done right. Because it's a horror comedy. Cool. And I get to see people die. So I'm for it.
Yay! All right, next game is Dadish 2, developed and published by Thomas K. Young, released October 27th on Xbox One for $9.99. He's a dad in a radish, and he's back in his biggest adventure yet. Jacob, we covered Dadish 1 last week. This is Dadish 2, the thrilling sequel. Tell us about it.
So, if you don't remember what I said about the first Dadish game, you should go back and listen to, like, two episodes ago. But pretty much the whole basis of it is that you are this dad who is also a radish, hence dadish, and you have to save all 10 of your, I think it's 10, thereabouts. All right. You have to save a bunch of your kids.
Man, you have a lot of kids. You were busy. That's a busy dadish.
Yeah. I mean,
momish must be exhausted.
Huh. That's a good point. Anyway, and so pretty much your kids constantly get up into these hijinks, and so you have to rescue them through these platforming levels, which, of course, danger is everywhere. You know, usually it's like saw blades, electricity, random, you know, bad guys, which are usually in the shape of like fast food burgers and fries and sodas and all this other kind of stuff. It's very reminiscent of like late 80s, early 90s platforming games. That being said, this game has the dad actually at work this time. And because it's Take Your Child to Work Day, his kids decide to visit him. And naturally, because they're his kids, they decide to like run all over the damn building. And now the dad has to go rescue them. And hilarity ensues. The game starts off simple enough, but then, of course, it ramps it up because it knows that, you know, you already know what the hell the score is for this game. And it's just like one of those, all right, let's get moving. Let's start throwing in the saw blades, you know, the log drops, the spikes, all the stuff that you normally, you know, want to avoid on the way as you rescue your kids. And as you get to each end of the level, when you find one of your kids, you know, you have a quick conversation with them. I love that. You know, it's like the first kid that you find, it sets up why they're at the office, and the kid's like, well, let's take your kids to work day. And he's like, I left you at home. I know, we ran through dangerous traffic to get here. And it's like, and each interaction with the kids is always like this. For people who enjoyed the last one, some characters from the previous one show up in this one too. And it's pretty fun. It's just like, it's simple, it's difficult. I could see some speedrunning fun with it, but it's a good like pick up and play game. And originally these were released as mobile games. These are obviously ports to the Xbox, and it ported pretty well. Like, you know, it's, as I said, it's a good pick up and play game. You know, if you want to complete like two levels, if you want to complete 20 levels, have at it. You know, it's good classic platforming.
Cool. It's $10. What do you say?
Definitely. Absolutely. Both of the games are solid. I highly recommend both of them.
Start with one or start with two?
Well, I mean, you know, it's like The Godfather. I mean, do you really understand the second one if you haven't seen the first?
Does that mean if a third one comes out, we should ignore it?
What third one? what third Godfather? There was no third Godfather film. I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, next game to talk about is Still Stand, developed by Nilla Games and Ida Hartman, published by Nakana.io, released November 5th on Switch and PS4 for $2.99. Experience a woman's insecurities during a long summer of parties, dates, dreams, and time-wasting. Amid the feeling of being stuck and the desire for isolation, there's still hope that one day things will change. Maybe the shadow monster in her apartment can help her stay afloat? Our friend Serlina wrote in a review, and this is what she's got to say. Greetings, SML friends and fam. It's your girl, Serlina, and I'm reviewing Still Stand for the Nintendo Switch. Let's get on to the review. As y'all know, I'm definitely a Nakana.io fangirl, so going in, I knew this game was going to give me a unique experience. I may or may not have said that I couldn't wait for this game to wreck me emotionally, and boy, did it ever. Before I get into the feels, let me talk about the actual game for a bit. This is an interactive visual novel, so in an attempt to not spoil the plot, I'll refrain from speaking on it too much. Instead, I'll focus on the quality of the writing, graphics, and art style, and how the game made me feel. The first line in the game pretty much told me I was going to be in for a ride. That line is, "Copenhagen, you bitch." Three little words to let me know so much about our protagonist and her state of mind. Unfortunately, the one thing we don't know is her name. The game cheekily keeps that tidbit away from us, but for good reason. We'll just dub our heroine the Party Girl. The Party Girl is attempting to get through the summer's heat, but is also plagued and encouraged by what I can only describe as a nightmare-fueled monster. Granted, the monster isn't jump scary, but it was incredibly disconcerting for me to look upon. Anyway, Party Girl and Monster get up to a variety of scenarios and attempt to alleviate Party Girl's woes. That's all I'm telling you about the plot. The writing and visual novel's pretty good. There's a flow between Party Girl and Monster that is what I was expected to be if I had such a monster coercing me to do things I particularly didn't want to do but needed to do. As such, the dialogue between the two is standoffish, snappy, sympathetic, and somber. All S's, and sometimes all at once. You get the feeling that the two have an uneasy understanding of each other. The awkwardness between them is quite endearing and oddly relatable, at least it was for me. Graphically, the game is interesting. It's hand-drawn, which is always a joy, but everything is realistic yet slightly off. I don't know if this is simply due to the Party Girl's perception, but she's not immune to this effect. It wouldn't be fair to say that she's grotesque, but her appearance is certainly well on its way to it. I did some double takes on the expressions that she made as well. I'm pretty sure this is intentional, as it made me think just how deep our Party Girl has gone down the rabbit hole. As you progress through the novel, you'll find out the hole is deeper than you prepared for. This visual novel definitely hit me in the feels. Incarnating a monster notwithstanding, I've been through a lot of emotions that our Party Girl is going through. Hell, there have been times where I wished I had a monster to help me talk through some of the things I've been through. By the end of the game, I just nodded and went, yeah. It's nice to see some of the thoughts in your head can be projected on the outside where they can't be ignored. I imagine this may even help some folks who are really struggling out there. One can hope, anyway. Still Stand is available on the Switch on November 5th for $2.99, and should you buy this? Normally at that price, I would say, fuck it, why not? However, this is a wonderful experience, and you should buy it. It'll only take about an hour of your time, but it'll stick with you for a long while. Sounds good. Why isn't it on Xbox, Nakana.io? It's on Switch and PS4. Bring it to Xbox. I'm just waiting for anyone to say anything.
Oh, I was going to say...
Bananas.
It's not on Xbox because you's a hoe.
Fair. I will accept that. Next game is Million Greg, developed by Second Boss, published by Cubite Interactive, released October 28th on Xbox One, Switch, PS4, and PC for $3.99. And all in the level, in the all levels made by hand, Millie will face a lot of obstacles that will difficult her past. Oh my God. Who wrote this?
You know how to read, Joe?
This is seriously what the fucking page says. In the all levels made by hand, Millie will face a lot of obstacles that will difficult her pass, like a classic action-adventure platform game. The game also has some basic mechanics like jump, slide, and dash. However, with a physics feature that can change the gravity of your jumps, the player will have more challenges than he expects. Well, Jacob, it's you, so they were right.
Well, that's fair.
Okay, tell us about Millie and Greg.
So pretty much what the game is that this girl, Millie, has this cat named Greg, and Greg is constantly a dick, like most cats I've met, and is constantly running away. And so Millie, she loves her cat, and so, of course, she has to go off and find him through all of these ridiculously brutal levels. This game is a precision platformer, and there's a ton of levels to it, like a lot. And what, much like Dadish, like this is a good like pick up and play game. Although unlike Dadish, this one got frustrating real quick for me. And it's not that it's a bad game or like the controls are sloppy or anything like that. It's just, you know, you really have to study the levels. Like when I say this is a precision platformer, mm-hmm. I mean it. This is going to be like honestly, I think this has potential like for a lot of people to find who enjoy speed running. I think they're going to really enjoy this. The level is the art's cute, the music's fun and energetic, and it's fun. you're gonna die a lot.
You're gonna die a lot in this game.
Well, I mean, I die a lot in most games anyway.
Yeah,
but
you do. You are pretty useless.
Yeah.
At least he knows it. So that's at least a plus.
But yeah, like, you know, and it's. I mean, there's the plot is not complicated. You have to go find your cat, like, you know, and you just go through all the like the different levels. You know, there's really not much to say. Do you like? Are you going to get frustrated dying a lot? If you're going to get frustrated, this may not be the game for you. But if you enjoy a good challenge, I highly recommend it. I mean,
and it's only $4. So
oh well, if it's only $4, then hell yeah. I mean, even if you get frustrated easily, then like just put down the controller for a bit.
Yeah,
you
know, this is an easy fuck it. Why not? It's only $4, so just buy the damn thing. Fuck it, just buy it.
$4, so fuck it and buy the damn game.
Yeah,
fantastic. If this ever got a physical release, I would hope that would be on the back, along with, like, you know, 4 stars or something like that.
If it was physical, I don't think it would only be $4.
Joe, if you were physical, you wouldn't be only $4.
I am physical, and I'm like $12.
In quarters.
Yes. All right, that's it for you two. I got one more review to do with our buddy Norg, but he's not here yet. So this is where I edit the show and I end it, and then I start again later with George, and I just splice them together. So I'm going to put a clean edit right here.
Okay. Totally. Like, are you also removing the discussion of the Species movies?
No. Too lazy.
Nice.
All right, and moving on, final game to talk about tonight. We are bringing in our good friend, Norg. George Novick, how are you doing?
Fabulous! How are you?
It's been a long show. I'm ready for this shit to end.
I hear you.
Yeah. How's things been? You haven't been on in a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. We had some work stuff come up. We had a couple of storms happen that, like, shut down our power and internet for a while, and then more work stuff, a couple of funerals. It's been a couple of weeks, man.
Man. Couple of funerals. That's not good.
Yeah, yeah. One was not surprising, and one was, you and I can talk about that one offline. But you know what? Hug your spouse and all your cats, and just remind them how much you love them.
Yes, that's a good message to send. Hug your friends.
At any moment, something unexpected can happen, and you'll wish you had.
That's definitely a good message to send. So,
amen.
Yeah. Love you, George.
All right, love you too, man. Long time now.
Very long time.
Remember that one time I saw you at MAGFest and you were going down the escalator and I was all like, holy shit, is that King Kong Bundy?
I remember going down an elevator one time and the door opened up and Ubik was there.
Oh, God.
And I was very drunk and I said, hey, Norg. And he screamed as the doors were closing, I'm not Norg, I'm Ubik.
That's hilarious. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Good shit.
What's wild is that now Julia lives about an hour north of me.
You should go visit her.
I really should. I mean, we don't look anything alike anymore.
Yeah. But
yeah. She moved out here like right in the thick of the whole pandemic thing, and it just hasn't materialized. She's doing great. She's working at a brewery and they're awesome to her, and I'm so happy for her. I just haven't had an opportunity to get up into. She lives in an area called Everett and it's far.
Yeah, like Jacob is like 3 hours away from me and we never get to see each other. So
3 hours may as well be 6 transfer.
Yeah, flight. I mean, especially with like families and
yeah,
like loved ones you have to put up with.
Oh my God. Why would we? Come on,
man. But hey, at least you've had plenty of time to hang out with a Switch and play some Tetris, right?
Holy shit, dude. When you asked me if I wanted to review a game, I had no idea what I was getting into. So I'll tell you a funny story. Cause if I recall correctly, this game came out.
You want this to be part of the review or Separate from the review. Okay, if it's going to be part of the review, I should probably do the intro.
All right, do the intro.
Okay, final game to talk about tonight is Tetris Effect Connected, developed by Monstars Resonaire and Stage Games, published by Enhance, released October 8th on the Switch for $39.99. Tetris Effect Connected is Tetris like you've never seen it or heard it or felt it before, an incredibly addictive, unique, and breathtakingly gorgeous reinvention of one of the most popular puzzle games of all time. George, we have talked about Tetris Effect on this show plenty of times before, and people have wanted to see it on the Switch. It's finally on the Switch. How is it?
Sorry. Just having a Game Boy moment. Yeah! I used to know the actual Russian words to that song once upon a time.
Really?
There's so much beautiful Russian music, and Tetris shamelessly stole it all. It's fantastic. It's like I hear all these like cover video game band cover bands. They're like, yeah, dude, let's play some Tetris. I'm like, you're just playing Russian folk music and you don't even like the Russian people. Fuck you.
That was the dollar dance at my wedding.
Hypocrites. The dollar dance.
Yeah. Dance with the bride. Pay the dollar. Dance with the bride. Get your cake. That was the dollar dance performed by the one ups.
Up funny shapes and make them like fit perfectly.
No, it was just drop the buck and dance and get your cake.
You're a bit too meta. Yeah. Way too meta.
Yeah.
So I wanted to tell you a funny story about this particular Tetris. Because for starters, just full disclosure, I've been playing Tetris since I was probably 11 years old. And I built an 8088 PCXT with a turbo button that clocked in at a blistering 10 megahertz.
Jesus Christ.
And I had a copy of EGA Tetris on my 20 megabyte MFM hard drive.
20 megabyte. Jeez.
So let's see. If I was 11 and I'm 45 now. 21, 22, Jesus. I've been playing Tetris in some form or another for 34 years. And I used to consider myself to be really good because I could like roll the score on the Game Boy version because I kept it in the bathroom and there was nothing better at that time than dropping a deuce and playing Tetris at the same time. I mean, come on. It's what you do. That's why we all got Switches, so that we could play Skyrim and take a shit at the same time.
Absolutely.
So I wanted to tell you a funny story. A drummer that I play with was telling me a few years ago, he said, dude, I just got this wild version of Tetris. It's like it has music and synchronized beats and stuff, and the graphics look amazing. And I was like, yeah, yeah. And I paid him for the pizza and he left. No, I'm kidding. Because drummer jokes. Anyway, but he was telling me about this. I'm like, yeah, that's cool. But I didn't have any consoles that I could play it on because I think the most recent PlayStation console I have is 2, and I have an Xbox 360. So that wasn't happening, but then it released on Switch. So I thought, huh, that could be cool. And then you approached me to do the review of it. And of course I said yes, because it's Tetris. And so I loaded it up and I'm like, okay, this looks kind of cool. And it recommended putting on headphones. So I put on some headphones and then I was basically transported into a world where Tetris is perfect and life is perfect. And I never wanted to leave. He described it as the perfect version of Tetris, and I cannot disagree. It was astounding. Also astounding was the fact that apparently I have completely lost my touch
at Tetris.
Because I think I finally got through the single player mode on normal, and that was after getting through it on beginner, and that was hard.
Yeah.
So I've gone
it's a long career mode, I guess. Yeah. It's a long story mode.
I went from being the dude that was virtually unbeatable on Tetris DS to having my entire ass handed to me by this version. And honestly, it was cool. I liked having the challenge, and I'm a lifelong lover of Tetris, so this worked out really well.
I will say it's nice that they handed it to you. They handed you your ass after they blew your ass off. with right. how amazing the game is. They handed it to you.
They handed it to me. Like, they very reconstructed nice of them. It. They used shoe glue so that it would still be malleable, and then placed it gently but firmly on a silver platter with one of those dome lids. And then they walked it over and they raised the lid, and you heard in the background. And I retrieved my ass and I replaced it to where it belonged, which restored order and balance to my universe. And then they blew it off again later. But it was kind of a cyclical thing, kind of like the yin and the wang. But yeah, so I usually go through the good, the bad, and the ugly. Okay, so the bad and the ugly are actually both the same thing. And one thing I really wanted to do was spend a lot of time testing out multiplayer, because my understanding was that it was cross-platform compatible. You could play Tetris with people who were not necessarily on the Switch. So I, on the rare occasion, I found somebody online. I could see Windows. I could see, I think it looked like a PlayStation controller. It had a little symbol depending on what system they were on. The bad and the ugly part of this was the vast majority of the time that I got into the online mode, and I know my connection was good, I could not find an opponent. And then there are several multiplayer modes. You've got like the one where you're working collaboratively, and then there was briefly this one where you got to be the guy that the collaborative people worked against. That was fun, the one time I got to do it. But like the collaborative one where you have three players and you're taking on a computer version of it, and there are at least three difficulty levels. There were so many times where I would sit in the room alone, and then sometimes another person would come on, and then we did this little dance where you were ready, and then you backed out to be not ready, and then you did ready again because it played a sound every time you got ready, and then you got unready, and then ready, and then not ready, 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 and then ready. So we were doing this back and forth, and then eventually a third person would never show up, and the other person would stop going, not ready, ready, and then he'd quit. So I didn't get to do that very often. I think on each mode I maybe got to do two or three times, and I was really looking forward to spending a lot of time in the classic Tetris mode on multiplayer, and I really only got to try it out a couple of times. So that was my bad and ugly experience. I found that if I exited out of the game and went back into it, I had a 50% higher chance of actually finding an opponent, and I would actually find somebody typically at that point, but then after that, like, nobody could be found. So if I went through the effort of closing down the app and coming back into it, then something was stuck. I don't know something what it was.
Yeah, that sounds like something's very weird.
Yeah, something was stuck. I don't know what it was. It's entirely possible that it got fixed in one of the more recent patches, because I saw that there was an update. I haven't since tested that theory, but it's entirely possible that that did get corrected. So I could be completely talking out of my recovered ass at this point. So now I have to do this, though. I normally, and I've told you before, I normally do not go onto other sites and look for reviews, because that's stupid. I don't care what other people have to say. It's all about me, myself, and I. And I was looking up a couple of reviews at one point, because I thought there's no way that it can be this good without somebody talking shit about it. And I had to look really hard, but I finally found someone, and I'm going to read their review in its entirety with an old man voice for reasons that will become very obvious. The user was Foxy Chalet. I thought about doing it in the French accent, but I decided not to, because I prefer freedom. And it was posted on November. Oh, I got a freedom story to tell you in just a minute. It was posted on November 4th, 2021. Today. Holy crap. I'm glad I looked today, because otherwise
it's from today. Yeah,
it's from today. Here we go. 3 out of 10.
I hate modern Tetris. So if you like the ghost piece, slow lock, reverse piece, hard drop, and more than one or two pieces previewed, you'll probably really like this game. I find all this stuff happening on screen to be pretty distracting rather than adding to the gamer.
I think you meant to say game, but it was spelled G-A-M-R, so it comes out
gamer. I would rather play Game Boy Tetris or Lumens. Luminous. The hell is that? I am also pretty good at Tetris. So I have a higher standard for gameplay than many people who just want to relax. The NES replication part is pretty good, but with only the versus mode, it doesn't really do enough for me. Also, here's too little customization. Pretty disappointing, and definitely not worth the money.
And that's all.
What the fuck do you want to customize in Tetris?
See, he wants it customized, but he preferred the old versions, but he wants it customized.
Yeah, the old versions don't have customization.
There's no customization.
Well, that little son of a bitch doesn't understand that the old ones didn't have customization. We had green. And we had more green. I wanted to eat my cake and have it too. Yeah. Back in my day, we had EGA. None of this high-resolution bullshit.
Goddamn spinach green, as far as the eye could see.
Son of a bitch, get off my lawn.
Anyway, I just felt that it was necessary to recite that, because every other, the lowest review, overwhelmingly outside of this tool shed, is there's nothing lower than, like, 8. I found a 5.
Ooh.
A 5.
You don't have
a
to read that one.
No, I don't need to find out. Oh, another 5. The artistic Zen Tetris variant with nice visuals and audio. Though at a $40 price tag, adventure mode can be finished in just an hour. When played in a handheld mode without internet connection, it repeatedly tries to connect to the internet. Developers seem to not understand handheld portable idea for a Tetris game. The music is very mainstream club music that can get quite annoying if you're not into that. Mild but bearable performance issues. Can be relaxing, but Switch has better games for that. Gameplay of Tetris 99 is better. Anyway, so yeah.
I like how your review is just turning into critiquing other reviews.
I know, I'm having a blast over here. Your whole audience has quit by now. But
The developers are like, I don't understand what is going on here anymore.
Developers. Sorry, I have a trigger.
I can tell.
Every time I hear someone say developers, I start having to do the developers dance. It's it's like a compulsion. I mean. You know what I'm referring to, right?
Not at all.
How could you not? Oh my gosh. Go over to Messenger.
Oh, like now. Okay, yeah. All right.
There's a great video. Steve Ballmer, the guy. Developers.
Okay,
developers.
Yeah.
Okay. Now you understand where I'm coming from. So, okay, now that we've gotten all that crap out of the way... these are hilarious. Anyway, the only ugly part that I ran into was the fact that it was really challenging to find an opponent in multiplayer. Having said all that, and reading the lunacy of these ass clowns who probably don't wear masks in public, this game is fantastic. If they did anything to dumb it down for the Switch, I did not notice. The game ran smooth. It was the music and the combined beats of the rhythm of the vibrating controllers, and the fact that at times when you're going in between levels, the vibration mechanisms in the Switch were in tune with what was playing on the screen and the music, which was like why didn't anybody ever think of that before? You know?
Well, Rez had the trans vibrator.
Okay, there you go. But like, it's Tetris, and yet it was such an all-encompassing experience. It wasn't just rotate blocks, make them fit, get a Tetris, and proper fuck your opponent. It was an all-encompassing experience. Like, maybe without taste, because that would be weird, but like hearing and seeing and touching. Okay, maybe not smelling either. Oh, well, I did play it in the bathroom a couple of times, so there was a scent. It all comes back to poop, man.
It does. It really does.
It just, you can't get away from it. You gotta shit. Switch.
Literally.
You're so funny. We all got switches to play Skyrim on the pooper. I mean, that's it. And now
you have Tetris on the pooper.
Now we have Tetris on the pooper, which, to be fair, we had before because most of us had Game Boys and poopers.
But now you have, like, psychotic Tetris on the pooper.
Right. And, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, what I should have done was I should have found a way to get, like a piezoelectric speaker and mount it underneath the rim of the toilet and use it as a resonating chamber. Because there would be so much bass in there.
Jesus Christ.
Can you imagine? Dude, we're on to something here.
Oh my God. $40 on Tetris Effect Connected. What are your thoughts, George?
I mean, we've gone from the blast zone to the blast beat zone. Dude, this is it. This is our cash cow anyway. Okay. So let me finish. The game was spectacular. It was beyond anything I could have ever imagined a Tetris game could be. And it literally is the perfect modern version of Tetris. And it played extremely well on the Switch. The only time I had problems with the game was when I tried to play it with the Pro Controller. The D-pad on the Pro Controller has a tendency to give you up or down motions when going left and right at times when you do not expect it.
Man. Yeah, I hate when that happens.
Especially in a game like Tetris. So having said that, I would recommend anybody who gets this, stick with your Joy-Cons. I hope you don't have drift, because my right Joy-Con drifts down and it kept changing the field of view, which was kind of awkward, but that's a Joy-Con problem, not a game problem. Anyway, you had a question for me. I'm sorry. Please continue.
Yeah, $40. What do you think?
Get it. Buy it. Have it. Have your ass handed to you, reformed with shoe glue on a silver platter under a metal dome, so that you can replace your own ass and have it blown off again. It's that great of an experience if you're into Tetris. If you loathe Tetris like Foxy Chalet did today, then this is not for you. Neither is Freedom, but that's another story.
And joy, freedom, joy, and happiness.
And it's made by Russians. It's the only Russian export that we can be proud of.
I'm trying to check. I don't remember if it was Tetris Effect or if it was another Tetris game, but I remember something recent had a hard drop protection built into it. So really? It would only do a hard drop when you explicitly pressed up. Like if you had the up diagonals, it wouldn't register that as a hard drop.
Ooh, that's something that it could have been in the settings and I just didn't see it. But, oh, hey, check this out. Number 2 best Switch game of 2021, according to Metacritic.
Yeah, go into options on the main menu and gameplay. Yeah. And near the bottom, there's something called Diagonal Lock. Turn that on. And there's also cross-platform play, so make sure you have that checked.
Okay, I think I checked that one because I was seeing people from other platforms in multiplayer. I don't think I knew what the diagonal thing was, so I'll recheck it out. And
yeah, check Diagonal Lock. See how that goes. It's the best invention to a Tetris game I've ever seen. It prevents hard and soft drops. It locks out the diagonal movements.
Perfect. So you can only do the hard and soft drops if it only detects up and down.
Yes.
Without any extraneous. That's fantastic.
Yes. So thank you, Tetris Effect Connected, for being fucking awesome.
Thank you, Tetris Effect Connected.
Very good to hear that it is. You've done
the good work.
Very good to hear that it is worth the money on Switch. Yes. I might pick it up on Switch just to have it on the go.
You should. It's preposterously addictive. Like, it's not even fair how addictive it is. It's so good.
It's so good. I have it on PlayStation. I bought it on Xbox, and now I'm probably going to buy it on Switch.
Yeah, and then, there's the chill modes, where you just kind of, you're not racing against a clock, you're not racing against a line amount. You're just experiencing one of the many, many atmospheric levels, and just enjoying it. It's so amazing. It is both relaxing and ultra stressing all at the same time, as Tetris should be.
Well, I know what else is ultra stressing. The end of What's the show.
That? What?
JK, it's wonderful because we get to finish this shit. Yeah, it's the end of the show. That is it. George, thank you so much for coming on and chatting about Tetris.
My pleasure, man.
Always good having you on.
It's good to be here.
Thanks to Jacob and Aki for coming on, doing their thing. Do you have any final, or actually, do you have a music suggestion? Would anything you would like us to play?
Oh, you know what?
Anything
I sent
you have?
You. I did. I sent you something, didn't I?
Which
I
one?
I sent you. It was the Punchfest song. It's a little late for a Halloween themed thing, but it was a cover of Super Nintendo's Warlock, one of the themes from that game.
I don't think you sent that to me.
Oh, snap. I'm going to hit you with a link here real quick. Can you play off of a YouTube link?
I mean, I'll just download it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That works for me. I don't care.
I mean, I'm going to edit it later, so.
Oh, there you go.
So okay. Yeah, we're going to play a song from you.
Yeah.
Yay. Sweet. Any final words to end the show?
Tic tac.